Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, help us to build our faith in you. Help us to be humble before you and seek to do your will. And let us be channels of your love that your will may work through us. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, today's first reading comes to us from the book of Samuel, actually the first book of Samuel. And it is the famous story of David and Goliath. And of course, David and Goliath has become a story that obviously has been around for, at this point, 3,000 years, and everyone knows the story. But what is the first thing that people say? It's a David and Goliath story, the small, weak person who ultimately, or the appearing small, weak person who ultimately defeats the strong person. The David and Goliath story becomes a major literary device that's used for 3,000 years. The one who you think can't possibly defeat the strong person, but ultimately the strong person falls. Maybe one form of the David and Goliath story that is actually not so much a person reaching out against another strong person, but a person who believes they are so strong, so it would almost be Goliath and David's story, believes they are so strong that they cannot be defeated, is Casey at the Bat, which, by the way, I believe is based on a true story, to tell you the truth. Casey at the Bat. And what is Casey at the Bat? Is Casey is, of course, that whole poem in which he's this home run king who shows up at the bat, and he believes that he is so good at what he does that he automatically just allows the first two pitches to go by him because he is this master hitter and he's going to hit the ball out of the park. And of course, just wastes the first two pitches, doesn't even try. And then when it's time for the third pitch, he, in full of his hubris and his overconfidence, he stands there and the pitch is thrown and he misses and he strikes out. A famous poem, as we know, Casey at the Bat. The poem, by the way, is written by Ernest Lawrence Thayer, who is a native, he was a native of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Born in 1863, and he was a native of Lawrence, Massachusetts. So anyway, there we see the great story of Casey at the Bat, which is kind of the reverse of a David and Goliath story. But in this David and Goliath story, you see the powerful Goliath, this one who everyone will recognize is like the secret weapon of the Philistines, the one who everyone is terrified about. And David, who goes to Saul and says, I will defeat him. And of course, we all know the story that through a slingshot, he kills Goliath, and Goliath, this great secret weapon or this powerful weapon of the Philistines, falls. And of course, with that, they defeat the Philistines. Well, why is that important? And we can seek it as, again, that small against the large, as that underdog story. But don't forget, David is anointed by God. Now, one of the things to keep in mind, no one understands this outside of the Christian and the Jewish faith. They all think, this God is this mean God and he'd send someone to kill these Philistines and how terrible that is. Don't forget, when you're talking about these opposing forces are living as these pagan communities, and what makes them difficult is they're engaging things like human sacrifice and all forms of really intense, nasty things as part of their faith. You know, people forget that part. And don't forget that when the Hebrews or the Jews, which are the same people, depends on the time frame, turned away from God and started embracing the pagan practices, one of the things that they would embrace would be the same human sacrifice, which God forbade Abraham. From the time of Abraham's, absolutely no way was going to be part of the Jewish faith. So do understand that whole dynamic. We're not talking about, all of a sudden, something like we have this holy people of God that wants to defeat the Canadians. And we go, well, what's wrong with the Canadians? We may disagree with some things in their government, but they're still kind of nice people. You know, it's not that kind of an aspect at all. It would be like, maybe it's time to defeat this absolutely vicious culture that is vicious upon themselves and vicious upon others. And that's a whole different understanding. So we have to realize that. So anyway, David is defeating Goliath, and Goliath is the secret weapon of the Philistines, but he is anointed by God. So he is drawing on the strength he receives from the Lord in order to defeat Goliath. It's not just he is himself this powerful man who is the underdog. It is he is deepening himself. He is dipping, actually, a better way to put it, dipping into the strength of the Lord. He's drawing on the strength of the Lord, drawing on the vision of the Lord, drawing on the confidence of the Lord, and fearlessly standing up against this powerful warrior who strikes fear in so many people. And he defeats him, and with him they defeat the Philistines. So it's a powerful message. Now, understand this. This is also powerful. Who were the Philistines? The Philistines were the people who defeated Hophni and Phinehas. David is righteous. Hophni and Phinehas were not. Always keep that in mind. That's all part of this. Anyway, we're going to talk more on the other side of the break. Thank you for listening to our program, and thank you for being here as you listen to us every single Monday through Friday. If you're here for the first time, we thank you. We are here. We're going to talk more on the other side of the break. But in the meantime, don't forget to share where you found this program, and don't forget to share this message. You can find us at CatholicAudioMedia.com, as well as you know, on the radio on WEZE 590 AM at midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning. We'll be right back right after this. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out our website, check out the archives of the show. You can connect to the parish, stanthonyalston.org, or click on the parish tab that's over there. And you can also donate to the show. If you donate to the show, that really helps the parish, which brings you the program. So if you'd like to donate to the show, there's a tab to do that. And it also tells you if you'd like to mail in a donation, how to do that over there at 43 Holton Street in Alston, Massachusetts. And again, that helps us here at the parish. So consider that, 43 Holton Street at Alston, Massachusetts. In the meantime, you can also send us input for the homily. There's instructions how to do that. You can do shopping over there. We have some mugs that are available. My latest book is available. And also, Father Adriano Zandana read it, and he really enjoyed it. So a little blurb from him about how he enjoyed the book. So my latest book is over there, too. And you can find it in paperback and on Kindle. So check all of that at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Well, our gospel today, coming from Mark, continues the theme of yesterday, that whole thing of the law is made for the person is not made for the law. So here Jesus is healing someone on the Sabbath who has a withered hand. And have you ever seen someone with a withered hand? They just can't use their hand at all. You can imagine how difficult that is, or maybe you might have one as well and say, gee, I wish Jesus would heal my hand. Well, here he comes, he's going to heal someone, and it's on the Sabbath. So that is forbidden, according to the Pharisees. You cannot do what Jesus is basically saying is this act of charity on the Sabbath. And no, you can't do that. Absolutely not. And because that's the rule. And it's, again, that whole thing when we make the rule God instead of understanding that it is through the rule we come to know God. You know, kind of an example. Maybe this is the best way to do it. It's Sunday and you're supposed to go to Mass on Sunday, right? That is the rule that we're supposed to attend Mass. Now, during the COVID thing, it's got all kinds of issues there and we understand that, but we're kind of looking at this within context. So it's the rule, it's Sunday and you're supposed to go to Mass on Sunday and someone is on their way to church, but they see someone who has fallen and realize that if they tend to that person, they're going to miss Mass. Now, I don't know anyone who'd turn around and say, well, I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you, I'm on my way to Mass. Granted, that's just like the Good Samaritan story, but you understand that. And someone might say that, well, you know, the rule is I have to go to Mass, but this person has just fallen, they've broken their leg, no one is around to help them, they don't have a cell phone, or maybe they've broken their arm, they can't reach their cell phone, they're a lot of pain, but I have to go to Mass, so therefore I'm just going to ignore that and go to Mass. Well, who's going to do that? But essentially, that is the scenario that the Pharisees are complaining against. Very similar. The man is in the synagogue. He's got a withered hand. Jesus sees that. The gospel message actually says that he is looking around at how they don't do anything for them. As a matter of fact, he says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than destroy it? And everyone says nothing. I'm sure you've been in those positions. You know, you ask a question and no one wants to say anything, so everyone says nothing. And so he says, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hands. So he heals them. And what is he also doing? He's countering them in their hardness of heart. This is the rule, and you have to follow the rule. And if you don't follow the rule, you are in sin. Well, there's a truth to that. But the truth is also following the rule needs to lead us closer to Christ, not away from Christ. So in my hypothetical example, if someone turned around and said, I'm going to do nothing for you because I have to follow the rule. And the rule says that if I even stop to see if you're okay, I will be late for Mass. I can't do that. Well, that's doing exactly the same thing. And that is, what did Jesus call it? Hardness of heart. But the person went to church. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It's what is touching our heart, what is transforming us at Mass is the big thing. But the rule says, I have to be at Mass, but we also have to do what is charitable. Now, there's the other side. There's the sublime to the ridiculous. I'm going to ignore the rule so I can do charitable acts. No, you need the combination of both, but you need them within balance and within everything we need. Don't forget, we are there at CatholicAudioMedia.com. Check that out. Spread the word of what you heard on this message and let people know where to find us at CatholicAudioMedia.com and WEZE at midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning, 590 a.m. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a blessed day.
In Cristo vivimos.